Well, as we are in Matthew 7, continuing on with the Sermon on the Mount, today we look at verses 7 through 11, and Jesus is once again talking to us about prayer. He's talked to us a lot about prayer already. He's talked about the duty of prayer. He's talked about the method of prayer. Remember, Jesus gave us an outline for the content of prayer and that example prayer that he gave the disciples. We call it the Lord's Prayer. He's talked to us about the attitude that we should have when we pray. He's talked a lot about prayer, but today he's going to say prayer is the vehicle or the instrument that God uses to provide our needs, especially our spiritual needs. And so that's in the context. Remember, he's talked about do not judge. That passage about the log, the guy has a log in his eye and he's trying to get the speck out of his neighbor's eye. He says, no, take that log out of your eye first, then you can see to get the speck out of your neighbor's eye. And so we need to pray, right? Lord, am I being hypercritical? Lord, when should I judge? When should I remain silent? We need prayer. We need wisdom. In that setting, Lord, what are we to do? I need some discernment. I need to know who is sufficient for these kind of things, Lord. Help me out. Give me some wisdom, Lord. And so we need to look to God in prayer if we are to be able to do what the Lord teaches us here in chapter 7. And so he's instructing us on prayer. And he has for us three encouraging words, three very encouraging words in these passages about prayer. He's exhorting us to pray. He gives you three words of encouragement to pray. And I want to point your attention to those. Look at verse 7. He says, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. So there is this threefold exhortation to prayer. And he's teaching us Christians need to boldly, boldly implore the Heavenly Father for grace. You, Christian, you should boldly go before God in prayer. Is that how your prayer life would be described? Bold. Bold. His words are designed to be an encouragement for us. Here's the encouragement. God is listening. God will hear you. You ever talk to someone who doesn't listen? All the wives are going, yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the encouragement. God does listen. When someone doesn't listen, you're probably not going to keep on talking long or you're not going to open up to them. But here's the encouragement. Your Heavenly Father is listening to you. He's listening. He is. It motivates. I know that God hears me, and so that's a motivation to pray. So Jesus, is even the words he used, is designed to encourage us in prayer. There's a triple command. Ask. Seek, knock, ask, seek, knock. And all those words point in the same direction. It's this privilege and this responsibility of prayer. Matthew Henry says, they teach us to pray often, to pray with sincerity, to pray with seriousness, to pray and pray again, to be conscious of prayer, to be constant in prayer, to make a business of prayer, and to be earnest in prayer. Ask, seek, knock. It urges us to pray. Pray. I want you to notice all three of these words point us in the same direction. But even with that, there is an ascending order of emphasis in those prayers. So yes, we are to ask. But even more than ask, we are to seek. And yes, even more than seek, we are to knock. And so those words offer, if you will, help in our own prayer life, or a secret in our own prayer life that we should be employing. And so let's walk through those words. What Notice the word ask. That's the word that a beggar would use when he's asking for alms. Ask. Someone who's pleading a case before a judge. It's someone who's inferior, who's gone to a superior, and he's requesting, asking. We are to ask. It should remind us of our humility that we have. We should be conscious but of the fact that we have needs. And when we have needs, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. You have needs? Go to the Lord in prayer. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the publican back in Luke 18, where they both go to the temple to pray. Well, the Pharisee, when he goes into the temple, he doesn't ask God for anything. He only tells God the things that he should be doing. I tithe, I do these things, I give, I pray. He doesn't ask God for anything. He tells God things. The Pharisee is not conscious that he needs anything from God. And so he spends time telling God what he ought to be doing. But what's the publican do? What's the tax collector do? He beats his breast. He knows he's a sinner. He goes to the temple. He pleads to the Lord in prayer to be justified, to be saved. And indeed, the Lord answers that prayer. He realizes he's a sinner. He realizes he has a need. And so he goes to the Heavenly Father and he pleads before the Heavenly Father. And so the Lord Jesus instructs us to ask. Ask. And with that demeanor, our heart ought to go before the Lord. We should be humble. We should recognize we have many needs. We should recognize he is the source that can meet and fulfill those needs. Second word, seek. The word seek, it's that word that if you are to search for something, you're going to look for something. So you've been given a string of pearls by your husband, ladies, and your three-year-old child in your arms yanks it off the neck, and the pearls go, and you're down on the floor looking for every one of those to pick them up, to take them, and have them restrung. It's that seeking. It's looking for them. You're scouring. You're down. You're searching for it. You endeavor actively to obtain a favorable reply. Maybe you've had some health issues, and your medical bills have been piling up, and you get a letter, a very harsh letter from the bill collector that the hospital's employed, and they're threatening you. And you say, wait a minute, I talked to the people at the insurance. And then what do? You scour through your notes and through your papers, and you want to find who is the name of the person that I talked to in my insurance company. Who is the name of the person, the hospital we connected with? Man, you search. You want to make sure those things are lined up. You have a need, and you want, and you scour and you search until you find someone. You find an answer for your need. And there's this clear desire, and it should be our demeanor to be humble. And we're conscious of our need, but we're single-minded, aren't we, in this desire when we go before the Lord. And then the word knock. Knock. Pounding on a door. Pounding, banging. We are to persevere in boldness when we go before the Lord. I'm going to persevere until I have this desire to obtain favor, to receive here, and I'm going to continue. I'm going to persevere in this. Jesus tells us another story in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 11, about this man. He's got no bread in his home, but he's got mouths to feed, and it's late at night, so he goes to his next-door neighbor. He knows his next-door neighbor's got good bread over there, and he pounds on the door and says, friend, give me bread. And what's his friend say? Man, I'm asleep. Go away. Come back tomorrow. I'm tired. Go away. Don't wake my family up. And what's the man do, though? He keeps on pounding and pounding and pounding until his friend gets up and gives him the bread and says, "Now let me go back to sleep." It's that knocking. And that's what the Lord Jesus here is instructing us to do. When we go to before God in prayer, ask, seek, knock. Be persistent. I am bold in my desire to obtain this favor. Ask, seek, knock. All those things. Being diligent in seeking God's favor. Those things should mark our prayer lives. Ask, seek, knock. So do you pray, I ask, with a sense of a need in your prayer life? Do you go before him with a sense of need? Or do you go before the Lord thinking, "I don't really need much. I pray for all these other people." Do you sense your own need before God? Are you self-satisfied? Are you satisfied with maybe the bounties of this life or what you have in this life? Or are you aware of the poverty in which you live and the poverty of our own sin? Do you go to the Lord with a sense of need and needs in your own life? And I don't just mean physical needs, people. Spiritual needs. My relationship with you is not what it has been. My joy, my self-control, my lack of forgiveness with others. We have needs in our own lives, and we need to go to the Lord in prayer and humbly before the Lord in a humble posture, asking and pleading, begging, and we will find the Lord hears and answers. Let me ask you again. Have you wisely set your hearts on those things that are good? Those things that are in accordance with the will of God? He reveals his will to us in his word, his plans. Have we learned them? Have we set our hearts upon them? Do we seek God's favor like the lady who's lost her pearls and we're down and I'm seeking and I'm longing to get it? I need it. Or do you seek the Lord in prayer like one who is seeking something very, very valuable? That's the way we're to seek him. To look to him. To recover that precious commodity. Have you patiently pursued what is good? Have you done that? That which is in accordance with God's will in prayer, have I patiently pursued it? Have I pounded on the door of heaven? Lord, hear me. Lord, hear me. Have you sought God's favor like a friend who needs bread at midnight? Or like the widow who goes to the unjust judge seeking justice? Have you gone to the Lord that way? Persistently. Seek the Lord with perseverance, diligence, diligently go before the Lord in prayer. Why? Listen to this. God is always ready, more ready to give than you're ready to receive. We need to understand that. God is more ready to give than we're ready to receive. It's a secret in prayer here to know that is God's disposition. He's more ready to give than we are. See, most of us pray with this idea that God is this reluctant, maybe I can make him bend to my will and give me what I want. Or no, God is always more ready to give than we are to receive. Here's part of the reason we mess that up, though. God is not like a parent who spoils his children. You know that parent that spoils their children, just doles out whatever they ask for in a sense that, Mom, I want this. Okay. Daddy, I want this. Okay. Never thinking what is really best for the child. God's not like that. God's not like that at all. And so until we appropriately appreciate his gifts, sometimes they seem to be withheld for a period. James tells us you do not have because you ask not. But he's not a heavenly father who goes around just spoiling us, giving us certain things that he knows actually are not good for us. That's not how he functions. And so when the demeanor of our heart is right, when the desires of our heart is right, when our souls, the diligence of our souls, we are going before him persistently, when we are doing that, he'll withhold nothing to bless you. And I hope that's shocking in your hearing. He will withhold nothing to bless us. And so the Lord Jesus says, ask and seek and knock. You need to be humble. You need to recognize you have need. You need to desire that God's will be done. And you diligently, diligently, diligently go to him. If you could wear him out, you do that. Constantly press your claims to him in prayer. And that's the first thing here that we see Jesus teaching us. The Christian needs to boldly go to the Lord in prayer. Now listen to this. God always answers prayer. He always answers it. Now it may not be the answer we are expecting, but he always does. Here's the second point, verses 7 and 8. And in this passage, we realize the glory of Jesus' promise about prayer here. The promise is answered prayer. You pray. The promise is answered prayer. God always meets the need. So 6 times in this passage, God meets the need. There's 3 commands, right? Ask, seek, knock. But there's 6 times, double that number, of answered prayer. 6 promises. Verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. God always meets the need. We ask, it's given. Notice it's not lent, it's not sold, it's given. We ask, it is given. God's answer always meets the need. Verse 7 again. Seek, you will find. There's the second promise. Seek, you will find. Notice again, God is found by those who seek him. It's a constant biblical principle. Seek the Lord that he may be found. Those who seek the Lord surely find him. Notice again, verse 7, knock, it'll be open to you. There's the third promise. The door of mercy is opened by the instrument of prayer. So maybe you've wrestled with that in your own thought. Why should I pray? If God is sovereign, why should I pray? If he knows everything, why should I pray? If he's in control of everything, why should I pray? Listen here, God has ordained the means by which that blessing will come to you, especially spiritual blessings, is through the instrument of prayer. That's how he will work. That's how he's designed to work. The old Puritans used to say this, when the Lord is preparing to bless a people, he sets them to praying. The modern missions movement, you think of the 19th century, was called the Christian century. The Christian missions explodes around the globe. 100 years before that, though, there's a group of Moravians who are praying that the Lord would do that. 100 years earlier, at the end of the 17th, beginning of the 18th century, these Moravians are praying that the gospel would go to the ends of the world. And 100 years later, you see it explode like wildfire. It's why you pray, because it's the means by which God answers and works in this world. God answers prayer. And he always answers prayer in such a way that his sovereignty is shown and his goodness is seen for his people. Notice verse 8. Here's the fourth promise. Everyone who asks receives. Notice again, everyone who asks receives. It's not just super saints. It's not just the apostles. It's not just those who are particularly gifted in prayer. Every saint who goes to the Lord in prayer asks, receives.
The Lord will hear your cry. So listen, don't send your money to someone else to pray for you. You pray for them. Don't think, oh, I'm in this situation. I really need, you know, Pastor Scott, man, he prays and he goes to the Lord. I really need him praying for me if I want God to hear me. No. God will hear you. God hears you. God will hear every saint who calls to him. Notice verse 8. He who seeks finds. It's not just that one day you might find it. You find it now. The Lord shows his favor in prayer. Faith secures the promise. Faith secures the promise. Verse 8, here's the sixth promise. To him who knocks, it will be opened. So again, this encouragement to persevere in prayer, Christ is determined here in this passage to convince us we need to labor in prayer. We need to be constant in prayer. We need to be praying. We will never labor in vain if we are dealing with prayer. Where God finds a praying heart, we find a prayer-hearing God. Verses 7 through 11. Jesus is bringing these incentives on us in order for us to pray to our Heavenly Father. Notice again, verse 7, here's a promise. Verse 8, he repeats the promise. Verse 9, he illustrates the promise. Verse 10, he illustrates the promise again. Verse 11, he emphasizes the promise that he had just made in verses 7 and 8. You think Jesus is trying to get something through to our thick skulls here? Go pray. The Lord really cares about you. The Lord hears. The Lord answers. You cry to the Lord. He will answer your prayers. You see, the Lord Jesus, he knows you. He knows me. He knows the fears we have. We know he knows that how discouraged we can get when I've prayed for something and I don't think I've seen the answer. Jesus is responding here to a faithless fear. And it is faithless. And whatever is not of faith is sin. And here, there is a way to fearfully pray that is actually bringing God no honor and no glory at all. Well, how do we fight faithless fear in our own prayer lives? Well, Jesus does it by piling up the promises of God. The Lord does answer prayer. The Lord does hear you. He does hear you. He does answer. So, by way of application then, what kind of prayer is this? What kind of prayer are we talking about? Well, this type of prayer, it presupposes a couple things, a few things particularly, at least three. What kind of prayer is this that Jesus is calling us to be engaged in? Well, first off, I just want you to hear, it's a prayer based on knowledge. It's a prayer based on knowledge. You have a knowledge of God's Word. And as you know God's word, because you know his word, you do know his will. And we'll submit to it. The things that we're asking for must be in accordance with his perfect will, because Jesus, like the Heavenly Father, it does not give things which are not good for us. He does not give things that are not in accordance with his will. It's not his will to give you something that's ultimately going to be for your harm. He's not going to do that. So if I go looking just for anything under the sun, I might find myself rebuffed. I might find that request turned away. But it's not turned away because of God's stinginess. It's turned away because of God's goodness. He is not going to give something to me that's not good for me. So we ask in accordance with his will, and we find that our prayers are answered. Second thing, this prayer presupposes faith. This prayer presupposes faith. Faith humbles itself before the will of God. So when Jesus prays and says, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done, that's not a cop-out. Sometimes we say that like, That's a cop-out, just in case I don't get what I'm really asking for. It's not a cop-out. That phrase, that God's will be done, should give you confidence. Confidence. I am confident that God, my Heavenly Father, He is going to do what is good and right in every situation. So, Lord, let Thy will be done. That type of faith is seen. Remember Job and all the hardships Job faces? When he says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord, and all these things. He did not sin against God. Man, he is going through the rigors, but he is confident. The things that he's going through, what God is giving him, is ultimately for his good. Even though he doesn't see it at that moment, he knows that, we know. He knew it by faith, but we know because we know the end of the story, don't we? Oh, it's made so clear at the end of the story, the Lord was actually blessing him all the while. Thirdly, this prayer presupposes a desire. Not only a desire of God's will in the Word, not only a faith that God will do us good, but there's this confident trust in His will and a desire for His will to be done. It's a desire. Do I have this single-minded desire to see God's will be done? So in that example prayer, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, that also, sometimes we pray that way, like, I hope that God will fix everything out there and that God's will be done on earth like it is. That also includes me. When I pray that, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know who else on earth? I'm on earth. Lord, let your will be done in this old ragged heart of mine for thy glory. Is that a desire that I have? Am I willing to submit to the will of God no matter what? To pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In me. Well, do I want that to be the case in me? Am I willing to submit to him no matter what? And all those kind of things underlie the type of prayer that he's talking about in verses 7 and 8. Then look at verses 9 and 11. One more thing. He teaches us that Christians must trust that the Heavenly Father is gracious and wise. So when you pray to the Heavenly Father, you know that he is gracious and he is wise. You ever wondered, should I even bother God with this in prayer? I mean, maybe if it was something really serious, if I had a really serious sickness, maybe that's the kind of thing I take to God in prayer. But not my request here, not this petition. Maybe if my whole world was crashing down around me, then maybe then. Or maybe you've prayed and you said, Lord, spare me from this disaster, and it doesn't seem like you're spared, and you're wondering, does prayer even work? Does this thing work? Why should I bother? Well, Jesus gives us here in this last thing two things that we need to remember. When you face doubts about prayer, whether you should be going to God in prayer or does prayer even work, when you're facing those kind of fears and doubts and the devil is assaulting you with those kind of temptations and your own flesh is weak and the world is saying, come, forget prayer, you do this and you pursue these avenues, Jesus gives us two things that we need to remember. First off, you come to God as little children. Come to God as little children. When you have these types of doubts about prayer, is God good? Should I hear the Lord? You come to him as children. We are to go to our Heavenly Father like a child would go to his father and mother and ask for food, asking for a loaf of bread, asking for a piece of fish, asking for those basic staples and needs in life. The same kind of confidence that a kid has that his parents are providing his needs, you can have even more confidence that God will provide your needs. You know, when you have young children, they're crying for you. And they're going to keep on crying till you come. Or maybe you're in the same room with them. And they're going to pester you to death until you hear them. You go to the Heavenly Father. You ask, you seek, you knock. He will hear. He is better than any earthly parent ever. Every earthly parent is evil. We've all sinned. You've got a Heavenly Father that's perfect. And He will hear us better than any earthly parent has ever heard their children. Notice also Jesus says, you need to expect good things from God. You need to expect good things from Him. So when a child asks for some bread, the parent doesn't give him a stone. Even the worst parent on earth doesn't do that. Doesn't do it. Fallen parents who sin, don't stoop that far. When a child asks for basic necessity, the parent, the earthly parent, responds by supplying that need. So the Lord Jesus says, you should expect from your Father to give these good things. I hope you don't think that you're a better parent than God. That's a temptation there, isn't it? Well, I provide for my kids in a great way, but you know what? God just doesn't provide for me. No, you're not a better parent than God. We are poor reflections at best of the actual goodness of our Heavenly Father. We are a vague shadow of the reflection of His goodness. So we should expect for Him to be better to us than you could ever even be to yourself. I should trust. You should trust our Heavenly Father. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? What about those prayers that you keep offering up? It seems like the only answer you ever hear is no. You ever felt that way? That's a legitimate place, right? Every prayer you seem to offer up, all you hear is no. Well, friends, I want to say that might be the best blessing of all. Calvin says God doesn't answer our prayers the way we ask them. He answers them as if we asked them if we were wiser. If we asked the right thing. The right thing. Sometimes we set our hearts on things that are not best for us. Our Heavenly Father, though, oh, no. He hears. He knows. He knows what's best. And He is so good. He is going to give that which is good. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, thank God He has not answered all my prayers with a yes, but He has given me what I needed even when I didn't know what I needed. You ever been in that situation? You actually didn't know what you needed? Well, God always knows. And we should pray with that kind of trust, that kind of confidence. That's who He is. Our whole trust, everything here needs to be on His graciousness and His goodness and His wisdom. The whole thrust of Jesus' word here should remind you, all of us who need discernment to how to act, we need discernment. We need to seek for these spiritual blessings. We need to seek. We need to ask. We need to knock the Heavenly Father. He says He's waiting. He's just waiting to pour out these blessings on His children. In fact, He's more ready to do that than we're even ready to receive it. So let's pray. Let's do that thing. Do you believe in the Heavenly Father, in His goodness and wisdom? Well, let's seek His face. Let's go to Him. Let's cry out to Him. Even now, what spiritual needs I have, needs. Will you seek His face right now and just know that He is more willing to give than you're ready to receive? Maybe you do have physical needs as well. Go to Him. As we pray now, will you pray to Him and seek His face? Say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, even thank You for Your Spirit that Even when I don't know how to pray, your Spirit knows how the right way to pray. Let's look to Him, shall we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege of prayer. I thank You that we can come and we can talk to You as Your own children. Lord, I thank You we can share the desires of our hearts with You. Lord, we can ask that You would give us grace to trust You more, to always know that Your answers are even better than our own answers. Lord, we ask now that You would strengthen us for longevity in prayer, perseverance in prayer, that we would continually come to You in prayer. Lord, in a room like this, with a congregation like this, and we have lots of needs. Our own sanctification is various places. So, Lord, we have individual needs that are not like our neighbors. And we come from different places in the world, and we live different lives. And so some of us have physical needs that others don't have, and some of us are at stages of life that we have needs that we never thought we would have as needs. But, Lord, we can trust You. We can pour out our hearts to You and know that You hear us. And we can trust Your goodness and Your wisdom. Lord, I pray that You would give us the Spirit of Christ as we pray. And let us grow in this. Lord, I pray for those that are they're not believers here. And they don't know You as their Heavenly Father, but they've heard us talk about Your love for us and Your willingness to do good for Your people. May they know of Your willingness to save. And may that be the prayer of faith that they offer up. Save me, O Lord, for Christ's sake. Forgive me of my sins. I trust in Christ. I'll live for Him. And for the rest of us, Lord, let us be constant in prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.